Bibles this evening, if you will, to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans is where we'll begin. If I get accomplished even close to what I want to get accomplished this evening, it will be maybe a minor miracle. I've got enough material I could preach for about 40, 45 minutes. I'm going to do it in about 15 or 20 minutes. And we observe the ordinance of baptism. It's more or less a devotional, but let me read a rather lengthy portion to you, though, starting back in the 18th verse of the 5th chapter. We'll read actually down to the 9th verse of the 6th chapter. Now, we must not be guilty of trying to chop the Bible up too much, you understand. We know that the chapter divisions were put there by the translators. Now, they do not do it any harm. They help us navigate our way through the scriptures, you know. But the chapter divisions were put there by the translators. This was originally one continuous letter. And so many times thought that is carried on in one chapter is also carried over to the other. And such is the case tonight. Listen to what Paul said. Verse number 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded," thank God, "grace," he said, "did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And then he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death," he says, "hath no more dominion over him." Thank God. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, just for devotional sake, I want you to hone in particular what Paul had to say in verse number 4, because it certainly relates to what we are doing tonight. Paul said, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." He says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, I want you to just hone in on that last phrase. Paul said, folks, we should walk in newness of life. Now, I thought about this. Listen, without a doubt, one of the great, great blessings that we have as believers, folks, is that God has literally given us new life. Isn't that great? Isn't that glorious? We have been, the Bible says, made alive by the Spirit of God. That's why Paul said, you know, if any man be in Christ, listen, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So without a doubt, one of the great blessings we have as believers is that God has given us new life. We have been made alive in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the older I get, folks, the more I realize, listen, only God's people really know anything about life and know anything about living life, you know. I'm convinced of that. Listen, the sinner, the lost man, though he may be alive physically, the Bible says he is dead while he liveth. Only God's people know anything about life. I told you this story before, but I remember reading about this Texas oil baron who had decided that when he died, he was going to be buried in his gold-plated Cadillac. And so sure enough, when he died, they set it all up, and they dug a great big old hole, and they set him up in that gold Cadillac. And as they were lowering him into the ground, one of the pallbearers said, "Man, that's really living, isn't it?" You know. No, it's not, folks. He's dead, you see. It's not living. Only God's people, if you think about it, know anything about life, know anything about living. I'm convinced of that. And the catch is, since we have been given new life, Paul says, folks, we are then to walk in newness of life. That's what I'm thinking about this evening. Now listen, the Bible does have a lot to say about the believer's walk. And when it talks about the believer's walk, really, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about your manner of life, your manner of living, if you will. And the Bible does have a lot to say about how we ought to walk. Listen, we ought to walk. We are to live our lives as becoming the children of God. We are to walk in newness of life. For example, in the book of 1 John, I believe it is, in chapter number 2, John said this. He said, "He that saith that he abideth in him, he said, ought himself also to walk as he walked." In other words, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am to walk like my Savior walked. I am not to gauge myself by you or anybody else. Folks, I am to walk. I am to live my life like my Savior lived on this earth. Now, I understand that is a tall order, and I wish I could stand here and tell you I do that all the time, but actually I do it very rarely, I fear. But that is my standard. That's my goal. I am to walk, John says, even as Christ himself walked, right? In another place, the Apostle Paul says, listen, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, as a believer, I am to live my life constantly under the control and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Again, I wish I could tell you that, man, I do that all the time. But it seems like, truthfully, it's a rare thing in my life. But that's my desire. I am to walk in the Spirit. And he says, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 3, I believe, or chapter 4, I can't remember exactly where it is, it just popped in my head. Paul even says, listen, we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Live your life, folks, in a worthy way. Live up to that high calling we have as God's people. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. It goes like that throughout the Scriptures. The Bible has a lot to say about the believer's walk. John says, walk in love, even as Christ also has loved us. Hey, folks, the one determining factor as a believer ought to be that we walk in the love of Christ, right? We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. Anyway, it goes like that throughout the Word of God. The Bible actually has a lot to say about the believer's walk. But here, Paul said, you know what? You ought to walk in newness of life. You are to be new creatures. You have a new walk as a child of God. Now, so I want us to concentrate on that, and I really got to move through. I have enough material here for about another 40 minutes, but I'm going to shoot through it so quickly. In the first place, notice what I would call the provision for this new life. In other words, how is it possible? I thought about this. I relate a whole lot to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 7. When Paul said, you know, that he said, that which I would do, I don't do it, basically, I'm putting in my own words, that which I would not do, that's exactly what I do. Do you ever have that problem? In fact, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's the way I feel. And yet, we are told that we should walk in newness of life. How do you do that? What is the provision God has given us to walk in this new life? And I'll tell you what it is. It is one word. It is by God's grace. Folks, grace is the provision of this new life. Now, I know we toss that word around a lot here at Faith Baptist Church, and as well we should. Listen, we are what we are by the grace of God. Do you understand that? I've heard it defined that grace is the unmerited favor of God. Well, listen, that is exactly what it is. It is God bestowing his favor on you. You did not earn it. You do not deserve it. God gives you that which you do not deserve. That's grace. That's the only way we can live and walk in this new life. Now, go back to the 5th chapter. Paul tells us a couple things about this thing of grace. Number one, he tells us, listen, grace, here's the marvelous thing about grace. Grace is greater, he says, than our condition. In verse number 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. He said, but where sin abounded, listen, grace did much more abound. Grace is even greater. That's what I like, than our condition. Now, one thing you find out, particularly about the Apostle Paul, Paul doesn't pull any punches when he tells us what our condition really is. We are all sinners by nature, by practice, and by choice. In fact, Paul said, listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have violated God's holy law, and we are sinners by nature and by practice and by choice. But listen, as great as our sin is, I'm here to tell you, grace is even greater. Grace is greater than our condition. Second of all, he says, grace is also greater than our condemnation. Verse number 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. You understand what he's saying? He said, listen, because of sin, judgment, condemnation passed upon all. I quoted you this morning where God said, or Paul said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. But grace is greater than our condemnation. Verse number 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, I love this, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What I'm saying is that the provision of this new life is one word and one word only. It is by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You want to know how to be saved, sinner? It is by grace through faith. And he says, that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So number one, we have the provision of the new life. Number two, the power of the new life. And whereas grace is the provision, listen, Jesus Christ is the power of this new life. Listen, he is the one. You say, well, how does somebody live a Christian life? I got newsflash for you. I can't. Even when I do good, evil is present with me. Have you ever been in God's house and some of the most wicked thoughts go into your head? That's the way we are. But it is Christ, it is not me, It is Christ. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what Paul tells us. Christ is the one. Now Paul asks a question in verse number 1, and I think it's a fair question. Sixth chapter, in verse number 1, Paul asks a very important question. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now, he asked that question, I think, because he had been talking about how grace abounded over our, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And he asked this question because he didn't want people to think, well, if that's the case, some people think this, then I'll just sin more and more, and more grace will abound on me. The antinomian believes that. The hard shell believes that, basically. You know what Paul said? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. And then he goes on in his argument and talks about that our hope is based on the fact that we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Let me tell you something that is unique to Christianity and Christianity alone. Folks, our salvation is based on the fact that we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ. As Sister Angela goes into the waters of baptism tonight, now listen, it is not baptism that creates that union. It only pictures that union. Baptism does you no good whatsoever as far as the salvation of your soul, does not add one thing to your righteousness. But as Angela goes into the waters of baptism, it is a picture how her Savior died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It is a picture of how Angela now is dead to sin. She is buried, just like Christ was buried, and she's then raised again to walk in newness of life. It is a picture of that unbreakable union we have in Christ. Paul said we are members of his flesh and of his bones and so forth. We are united with Christ. Anyway, we have the provision of the new life, the power of this new life, and then last thing, the promise of this new life. Now listen, the provision of the new life is grace. Grace is that provision. Christ is the power of the new life. It is Christ in us, right? And this book is the promise of the new life. If a person comes to Christ, does what the Scripture says, what happens? Verse number 8 said, "Now we be dead with Christ. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Somebody says, how do you know you're saved? Is it because you feel saved? A lot of times I don't feel very saved. I don't know about you. Is it because you act like you're saved? To my shame, there's a lot of times I don't even act like I'm saved. But I know I'm saved because of the promise of life in this book. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. One of the greatest, and I got to quit, one of the greatest blessings we enjoy as believers is God has given us new life. "I give unto you eternal life. You shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand." Paul said, since that's the case, folks, and I think we need to hear this a lot, you then need to walk in newness of life. Are you saved tonight? That's the most important question. And listen, as this young sister goes into the waters of baptism, it is a testimony to the world, to all of us, that she has a Savior that died for her sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Then she likewise is dead to sin. She is buried, and she's raised again to walk in newness of life. All right, let's stand and sing a couple of verses, Brother Bo.